It would be unkind on my part not to take just a moment of time to express again my appreciation for the opportunity to speak. What a joy it is to be able to come together as the people of God. Appreciate Brother Austin leading our singing tonight and the songs that he led. If you have your Bible tonight, if you'll turn with me to the book of Acts in the 5th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you. I encourage you to take your Bible and study along and measure what I say by the Word of God. Should I teach something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if truth is taught, we pray that you'll accept it and obey it. And if you've never been baptized upon your faith in Jesus Christ, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 5th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. In the reading I just read in your hearing, notice that people were bringing the sick, and the apostles, by the power of God, were able to heal them. And yet, as you continue to read in the book of Acts and the 5th chapter, you'll find that some were bringing the sick and lining them up on the street in hopes that Peter's shadow would fall upon them. They had a hope that the shadow of Peter would make them well. Now, some scholars have questioned, well, did Peter's shadow really make them well? And I do not know. I do know that in Acts chapter 19 and verse 12, that Paul had some handkerchiefs or aprons and that he touched, and they would be touched by those who were sick, and they were made well. But one thing I do know is if the sick were made well by the shadow of Peter, it was by the power of God and not some superstition. It was not Peter who had that ability, but it was God through Peter working that would heal an individual. But for a few moments of our time, I want us to look at some things in regard to Peter's shadow. The first thing I want to put into your mind is you have to have two things to have a shadow. And without these two things, you will not cast a shadow anywhere. And I want you to keep this in mind, and we'll bring it up later in our study. But to have a shadow, you must have light, and you must have presence. You must have an individual be in the light for there to be a shadow. If an individual is standing in the darkness, there will not be a shadow. So when Peter was making his way in Jerusalem, no doubt they would look where the sun was because they would want their people to be in the shadow of Peter, in his presence. And so it took Peter being there and it took light. Now that's a very important thought if you're going to cast a shadow. But I want you to think about for just a moment that all of us are going to cast a shadow of some kind. And what I'm talking about is we're going to have influence one way or another. And what I'd like for us to do is to think about, in the world that we live, in the places that we abide, are we making the world we live in a little better or a little worse? Just exactly what kind of influence do we have? And what I'd like to do is look at three snapshots in the life of Peter and notice how he influenced people. And then we'll make application and the lesson is yours. If you take your Bible, go back to the book of Acts and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 3rd chapter, you'll find Peter and John going to the temple at the hour of prayer. I like that statement that here are two men in fellowship with one another, and they're going together to pray. And notice as they're going to pray, they come to the gate Beautiful, and it says there is laid a lame man there. Somebody had brought that lame man there, just like people had brought people to be in the presence of Peter's shadow. His friends had brought him so he could beg. And in Acts 3, you study the divine revelation, notice that when he saw Peter and John, he asked something from them. He asked for alms. But you look at what Peter said. Peter said, look at us. And I want you to think about, here was a man who thought, they're going to give me some money, I'll be able to eat today. But then Peter probably said something that kind of made him downcast. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now that man may have thought, then why are you wasting my time? There's other people passing by. But Peter's going to give him something greater. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And notice in verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now watch what this man does. A lame man who had never been in the temple because it would have violated the old law is now going to go into the temple for the first time. And notice how he enters the temple. Not somber, but he went in leaping. He stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And look at verse 9. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Can you imagine seeing someone who'd been lame? All of a sudden, without any surgery, without any doctor, being able to get up and walk after years of unable to do so. And that was by a miracle. But notice, if you will, in verse 11, a beautiful statement. The lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. I like that. I like that. The man said, you have helped me. And the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. That's twice we see their amazement. But look at what Peter says in verse 12, very carefully. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or our own godliness, we have made this man walk? What's Peter going to do? He's going to give God the glory. Look down at verse 16. He said, and His name, through faith in His name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which came through Him has given Him the perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. Now then, look at that and realize Peter did not do this great work so he would be praised, but that God would be glorified. But have you ever thought about the influence it had not only on the temple, but in the city? Because they're arrested one chapter later. They're arrested because the religious leaders are enraged that he's preaching Jesus. And yet, my friend, he boldly stands up to them. And they saw that they're uneducated in verse 13. They said they're untrained men, and they marveled, and they realized they had been with Jesus. But they couldn't say anything, because look at the next verse. They saw the man who'd been healed standing with them. I like that. He didn't leave their side. Even though they'd been arrested, that man went with them. Have you ever thought about the presence and the influence that Peter and John had on that occasion? It affected a whole city. But then if you take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts in the 5th chapter. And notice the shadow that Peter cast when you look at Ananias and Sapphira. When you look at the healing touch, that's one thing. When you see compassion that Peter had, like in the steps of his master, that's one thing. But in Acts 5, you see Peter giving a stinging rebuke. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, perhaps seen from Acts 4 where Barnabas and others had sold their land and brought all the proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet, wanted that kind of praise for themselves. Or so it appears. Because they sold their land, kept back the portion, which was fine, it was their land, they could do with it what they wanted. But they made this up that they gave all the money. And remember what Peter said to him in verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now I'll tell you, that's a stinging rebuke. Why did you keep back part of the price of the land? It remained yours. He said, after it was sold, it was not in your control. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. Then look at the next verse carefully. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And notice, they wrap him up, they carry him out, they bury him. And now it's 3 hours later, his wife comes in, and he asked her the question, did you sell the land for so much? She said, yes, for so much. And he said, how's it you've agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who've buried your husband are at the door. They'll carry you out. They've been gone 3 hours. Can you imagine going out and burying somebody and you come back 3 hours? Now he's going to have to bury someone else. Why? They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God. And notice what the Bible says in verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Underscore church and all who heard these things. You ever thought of the influence Peter had in the church? They started to see the seriousness of being honest with God. They also saw the seriousness of being who they need to be. They saw the influence that Peter had as he spoke. And notice, God's the one who struck him dead, but Peter stood up and rebuked him. You'll see that in Acts 8 with Simon the sorcerer, when he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit that they had in that day and time where they could lay hands on people and give miraculous gifts. And what did Peter say? You remember he looked at him and he said, your money perish with you. You pray that perhaps God will forgive you. And you remember Simon the sorcerer said, you pray for me. Oh, look at what he did and see his influence in rebuking someone who needed it. But then if you take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts in the 10th chapter. And in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter, we get a third picture of the influence of Peter. And we see how he cast his shadow when he went to the Gentiles with the truth. You remember at first Peter bristled at this. You remember when he was given the vision in verses 9 through 16? 3 different times the Lord had sent down the food and said, this is now unclean. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. And Peter said, and the Lord said, what the Lord has called clean, Peter, don't you call unclean. And then you remember beginning at verse 24 that Peter meets Cornelius. And you remember that he teaches the truth. And notice, my friend, that when he teaches the truth, that the Bible says he opened his mouth in verse 34 and said, in truth I perceive God shows no partiality. And then he talked about that the word in verse 36, which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Not just Jew, but Gentile. And you know, my friend, he preached and the Gentiles, Cornelius and his household, were baptized. They obeyed the gospel. And look at what Peter said in verse 47. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, I've seen 3 pictures. I've seen Peter's influence upon a man, and he had a healing touch, and it influenced the people of the city of Jerusalem. Then I looked in my Bible and I saw where he had influence over those who heard about Ananias and Sapphira. Great fear came upon them. Then I see in Acts 10 where he teaches the Gentiles and he has to go back and explain himself in chapter 11 and defend God's grace being extended not to just the Jew, but to the Gentile and to all nations. Now then, I want to take that. I want to make application and the lesson here. The first thing I want us to think about is we must walk in light to cast a shadow. Take your Bible and look in 1 John chapter 1. When you come to 1 John chapter 1, you remember that John is writing at this time. And John has got a very important statement that we need to put down in our heart and make sure we understand it. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. As Christians, we are to walk in light. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter for just a moment and look in the 5th chapter. And notice that the Apostle Paul tells us how we're to walk in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, my friend, when you walk in the light and you walk as light, you're going to cast a shadow and you're going to have influence on others. Look, he said in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now I'll tell you something. I think it's a sad thing as children of God not to be able to cast a shadow and influence others. Because if we're in light, we're going to do it. And we're told to walk in light. We're told to walk as light. We're told to be a light. And sometimes I'm fearful we just try to blend in. And what did Jesus say? No one lights light and puts it under a bushel. He said, that's no good. A light is only good on the lampstand where it can shine out and produce what it needs to be producing. We as Christians need to be influenced in a dark world. We need to be salt in a decaying world. We need to have a shadow of influence in a world that is decaying. Because I'll tell you something, if we don't start being the influence, then our children are going to be influenced by the world instead of by us. If the church doesn't stand up and be a light in a dark society, then this society will collapse like the others. And it's high time some of us start to cast the shadow of influence in our sphere of the world. Secondly, I want you to think about that when you take your Bible, notice how we can influence others. And think about some things about our shadow. Think about in the home life, how we can influence our children. Now, I recognize that children can grow up and they make their own decisions, but I'll tell you, in the days of their youth, we need to be a good influence on them. Sometimes I look at my own life and I wonder, just what kind of influence have I left? But I'll tell you something else. We need to be an influence in our occupation. Now, I recognize sometimes we have to be careful what we say, but I'll tell you, we never need to be ashamed to say we're a Christian. We ought not to ever be ashamed to let our light shine. I know that in some places if you talk about certain things, they'll fire you. But I'll tell you, my friend, you must remember one thing. You can always be a light. You don't go along with the crowd. I don't care our age. We need to be a light. In cancel culture, it's so easy to hide our light under the bush. It's so easy to walk in the shadows so our shadow isn't seen. It's so easy not to have influence because we don't want to hurt someone or we don't want someone to hurt us. But you look at Peter, arrested for preaching truth. But I'll tell you, we can have influence in the community. In Athens, Alabama, there are some of you that know everybody, it seems like. And I'll tell you, while you're in Athens, Alabama, you have a great influence. Or are you wasting it? Do people look at your shadow? Do they see that you are walking in the light? But that brings up something else. We all have something to give. You know, Peter didn't have silver and gold, and yet he wasn't ashamed to say that. I know some people, we're almost ashamed to say what we don't have, but you never thought about he had time? Sometimes we can sacrifice our time for people. And I'll tell you, most honestly, most of us have more silver and gold than we want to admit. But when it comes to time, we won't sacrifice that. When it comes to compassion and kindness, sometimes we won't sacrifice that. And I'll tell you something. What you might as well do is just erase your shadow because you're not using your influence. You think about the gospel. Whoever it was that brought you to Christ, they impacted your life greatly. You ever thought about Paul when Ananias taught him the truth? He never forgot Ananias. When he recounts in Acts 26, he said, it was Ananias who brought me to Christ. It was Ananias who baptized me. And my friend, the only way you can repay someone is to be an Ananias to someone else. Sometimes I'm fearful we get in our mind, I'm already saved and that's all I need to do. My friend, you are saved to go out and save others by the truth of God. And I'll tell you another thing. some people are going to call you evil like they did Peter. But look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 3. When your influence is right, look at what has happened. Look at what he says in verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an offense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I've known preachers and I've known people who've been falsely accused of everything on the sun, seems like. But you know what will take away that? You can live and continue to let your light shine. One last thing. Only those who look at the sun will have a shadow that continues forever. And I'm not talking about S-U-N. I'm talking about S-O-N. Only those who walk in Christ leave the influence they need to leave. You know, Brother Guy talked about last Lord's Day, leaving behind certain things and what it cost someone. You know, I'll never forget my mother talking about, as she was dying, son, all these things you accumulate through life, when it comes to the end, all it is more to dust. And when I ask you, what are you leaving your children and what are you leaving your friends, I'm not asking about possessions. Those are wonderful to leave, and I'm glad that they have sentimental things to hold on to think about you. And there's things that I hold dear that have been given to me that just mean so much to me. But I'll tell you what means the most is the influence that people have had in my life that have impacted me for good. They've taken time to help me and to teach me and to show me and even rebuke me when I needed it because they loved me. That's the legacy you want to leave. Because long after you're gone, my friend, your shadow will remain in the lives of those you've touched and in the hearts of those you've brought to the Lord. Question. What kind of shadow are you leaving? If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. Let's together.